Hey everyone, it's Carol Kay. I'm a producer here at Offbeat. I just wanted to thank everyone for tuning in and to also give you a heads up that we had some slight technical difficulties while recording this particular episode. Unfortunately, we didn't make that discovery until after we wrapped and all that good jazz, but the content, the things we're talking about, the music, the magic alone just couldn't be recreated even if we tried. So with that said, we decided it best to go ahead and move forward with publishing this particular recording. So if you can find it in your hearts to forgive some of the pops and clicks here and there, I promise you'll enjoy the show. Thanks again for your support. Have a good one. You're listening to Offbeat Music Box. I'm Carol Kay and I'm with...
I'm Simone. Hi, how are you?
How are you, world in Los Angeles?
What's up?
I know, it's been a while, my friend.
It's been a while, but we're back in the swing of things and we have a great show mixed with all kinds of great music.
That's right.
What we're about.
Yeah. So today, our... episode is called Backtrack.
Yeah.
And we're pretty much gonna, you know, kick off this episode six with some timeless hip-hop music from the 90s, 2000-ish.
That shaped our lives and it shaped our the reason why we love music so much.
Exactly. So we have a handful of really, really cool groups and artists, and I think you guys are gonna really love this one. So let's kick it off with our first artist. Everyone knows this guy. He's still around today, and he's really well known for his beef with Jay-Z. Yeah. But you know what? Aside from that, he's a legend. All right.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Nas. Let's go ahead and play this first joint, and I'll tell you why. This one is one of my favorites. Told foul, but I'm as wise as the old owl. Plus the gold child, seeing things like I was controlling. Click rolling, tricking six digits on kicks and still holding. Trips to Paris, I civilize every savage. Give me one shot, I turn trite life to lavish. Political prisoner, set free, stress free. No work release, purple M3s and jet skis. Feel the wind breeze in West Indies. I think Coretta Scott King, mayor of the cities, and reverse things to Willies. It sound foul, but every girl I meet will go downtown. I'd open every cell in Attica, send them to Africa. If I rule the world, imagine that. I free all my sons. I love them, baby. Classic. Totally a classic song.
Right. I like how they collaborated. Like, she's, to me, one of the illest rappers. Like, period. Not just as a female, but as just a rapper in general.
I agree with you.
She's very slept on.
Yes.
Only because of the amount of stuff she's put out is very minimal. Yeah.
Yeah. So, where were you at this time?
I was working at McDonald's. I remember I got a promo CD. It was probably a cassette. It was a cassette.
Yeah, it was.
And it was this song, and then it was another song from this album. And I would just play it over and over again. Like I said, I worked at McDonald's, and... I just knew right away that this was just going to be the hit. But I thought I was the only one that knew about it.
You were the only one that knew about this album?
At the time.
In what, in Colorado? In all of Colorado?
In all of Colorado, I was the only one that knew about this song.
You and Eddie?
Yeah, me and Eddie. Yeah, exactly.
So you guys are like driving through McDonald's, bumping Nas, trying to tell everybody about Nas. Look at you repping for it. Like, you guys are like his PR in Colorado.
Thank you. Exactly.
You should know that, Nas. You hear that?
Thank you, Nas.
Yeah, for making a good album.
Me, actually.
That's true.
You're welcome.
It's just so, I don't know, something about it sets a tone. Like, I can't really describe it. It is kind of empowering.
Yeah.
And it's timeless. That's why we're playing it.
And see, what you just said is that's what, like, I'll keep going back to this. That's why I love this type of music and that era and these artists that we're talking about right now, is that they bring a certain feel to how you feel inside, like an encouragement or you know what I mean? It makes you feel something. It goes to your inner chakra and, you know, it makes you feel empowered or like focused on, like, you can rule the world. And if you did rule the world, what would you do with your life? And I think that's why this song is important, and many of the other songs we're going to talk about, is it gives you a certain kind of emotion.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, that there aren't very many songs today in the quote unquote hip hop genre that can do that for you.
Think about it, exactly.
So I have to agree with you. I mean, we're just making that discovery. Hopefully you guys feel the same way. Who knows? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But we do have another one from Nas we want to get into, and I think this is also another classic. Again, this is all about classics. We'll probably be saying that like 1,000 times. So I'll try to like censor myself so I don't bore you with the word.
Okay.
All right. So this one is Street Dreams by Nas. I'm innocent to proven guilty. I'm going to try to get filthy. Purchase a club and start up a realty. For real, G, I'm going to fulfill my dream. If I could seal my scheme, then precisely I build my cream. The first trip without the click. Sent the bitch with the quarter brick. This is it. Fresh face. NY place. Got a crooked eye for the jakes. I want it all. Armor on Benz and endless papes. God's sake, what a nigga gotta do to make a half a million without the FBI catching feelings? Street dreams are made of these. Niggas push beamers at 300 E's. A drug dealer's destiny is reaching the keys. Everybody's looking for something. Street dreams are made of these. Shorties on the knees for niggas with big G's. Who am I to disagree? All right, that was Nas, Street Dreams. Yeah. Simone, what does that do for you?
I think it's like, I don't know if you've seen the movie Scarface, but if you watch the movie Scarface, this had like a story behind it. And it was just talking about what Nas saw or maybe experienced. And I like how he's very descriptive of what he's saying. I think he's just a poet. He's definitely a street poet. I mean, that's obvious. Like Edgar Allan Poe of Queens. Yeah. And like what he was talking about is everybody's looking for something. Like it's to reach a key. He was just talking about like a dude on the street just trying to make it.
Right.
I mean, he kind of glorifies selling drugs, which is, you know what I mean? Like, which, right. You know, I have my own opinion about that, about glorifying. But I do, this is going to sound crazy, but like, let's say a 2 Chainz, for instance. He talks about selling crack and coke.
Right.
But the way he does it is not... He doesn't depict it in a way that I would want to even listen to his shit.
Right.
Right. The way Nas does it, it just sounds more poetic. It's he's saying it in a different kind of way where you can actually, you're going for the underdog, which is the dude on the street corner selling drugs.
Right. So is it more, it sounds more to me like, okay, you have somebody who can glorify such a thing where in a way where they're like, this shit is cool, as opposed to somebody glorifying it as a means of storytelling.
Right.
Not necessarily encouraging people to do it. You know, they're not promoting it, but it's part of their truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Early 90s, like the Queens where he was from, like the crack epidemic and the cocaine epidemic was very high. That's when that dude Supreme was out there. Everybody was a part of it. Even like 50 Cent, for instance.
Right.
You know what I mean? He was out there. Everyone was out there. Most rappers were hustling before they got into the music business. So he's just talking about what he saw. And it had to be rough out there if you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the street life is not fun. It's not easy. And as much as people have street creds and, you know, like even Jay-Z, for example. I mean, he talks about it, but I mean... I don't think it's not talking about it to be cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's just that if that's your story and that's the only story you got, music is kind of an outlet for these type of storytellers or type of stories. You know, so it's not like they're doing it to be cool. They're not doing it to, pretend to live a certain lifestyle. Right. It's just their outlet for expressing. Yeah. Their life and their story.
And I think that's the difference between the music that we're listening to now, the music we're going to listen to in this episode of the early 90s and 2000s to the music that we listen to right now as we speak in 2015 about the culture, the drug culture. I do believe now that the young kids that are rapping about selling drugs is more of a shock value, and it's about being cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it is a shock value. You're right. It's sort of sad.
It is.
So we have one more from Nas. Oh. Right? It's horizontal how I have them. Fucking me in the Benz wagon. Can it be vanity from Last Dragon? Grab your gun, it's on though. Shit is grinding. Real niggas bucking broad daylight. With the broke Mac, it won't spray right. Don't give a fuck what they hit as long as the drama's lit. Yo, overnight thugs bug cause they ain't promise shit. Hungry ass hooligans, stay on that piranha shit.
The man. Message by Nas. And what did you think about that song?
I think this whole album has a certain kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And that song, among the other two that we played, it just makes me feel like, I don't know, I kind of feel super gangster when I'm listening to it, you know? I feel like I'm in the passenger seat with this dude.
Right.
Like, you know, and he's just like, we're coasting. Like, yeah. like we're in a scene in Belly.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I'm like in the backseat with DMX in the front seat.
And
you know,
he's taking you a trip around New York.
Exactly, except for it's not like super dark and with blue lighting, but it's like daytime.
You know, daytime.
Yeah, that old Hype Williams music video in the 90s. Yeah. But no, I totally feel like, you know, it does have a tone to it. And when you listen to it, it kind of makes you feel like, man, you automatically bob your head to this album. Like, there's no doubt. You hear the beat kicks off. Yeah. Why this song?
Can I be honest with you? The same thing. Like when I was like driving around, I was not super gangster, but this album made me feel like super gangster. You know what I mean? Like, it just made me feel like I was in New York, but I was not in New York at all. I was in the suburbs driving around in a Corolla. Listen to the song, and just it took you to a different place.
Yeah,
like it was kind of an escape if you think about it. This whole album, it was just like watching a great film.
It's like a good book.
Yeah, definitely like a good book. And I didn't. You know,
it was written.
Read a lot of
it was written.
Your tones.
Pun intended.
It was definitely a pun intended. That was pretty good. I'm impressed.
No, yeah, but that's Nas's album, and I think you know. I just like I said, something about it where it's like it did take you on a journey, but it wasn't one of those songs where, at least I didn't feel like it was one of those songs that would encourage you to go out there, like we said before, to go out there and do the things that he's saying.
No, I think
you're just kind of riding with him, you're feeling with him, and it's like it's easy to listen to and kind of like, okay, like I'm hearing a man's story as opposed to he's saying this shit is cool and I'm gonna go do it, you know?
Think about the bar that he raised. If you have heard this has been a part of your ear. Right, that's part of your mind, and then you listen to anything else. It's like eating good food and then you eat some fucked up sandwich on the street corner. You know what I mean? It's like it's not gonna do nothing for you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that's why when you listen to this, he kind of ruined the game for me. A lot of these songs and albums we're talking about now, this music kind of ruined it for me to move forward with the music that's out today.
Is it really ruining it, or did it set a precedent that cannot be measured up to?
That's it. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it can't be.
I don't mean
just for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know, you know, we talk about being picky and smug music fans, but I think there's a reason for it. And once you listen to this episode, you will definitely understand why.
So yeah, that's Nas for you. We do love us some Nas. We'll have to circle back to more Nas music at some point.
Always.
Yeah. So this next group is indescribable for me, anyway. But I want you to introduce them.
So this group is Goody Mob. They're from Atlanta, the Dungeon family. I would say a close cousin or relative to the Outkast group.
Okay, yeah.
Like they're all a part of that Dungeon family.
Right.
Very powerful music from the South. Totally different than anything coming out of the South. No disrespect to down South rappers, but if you really think about the South, you think about the Ghetto Boys. Scarface is amazing, but then you think about Master P, and then what was the other
Cash Money? Yeah,
which is
I mean, it bred Lil Wayne, sure.
It did. Congratulations, it did. But the Goody Mob, I would say, is completely different. I mean, if you think about their first album, Soul Food. Like, that in itself should share and shed light on what they're going to be talking about. And that's about some music that comes from the soul. Good food, soul food. It comes from a long line of, you know, slavery and like just getting the scraps and making the scraps into an amazing food and then turning that into a culture that which bred hip hop and just getting the scraps from just a DJ to a turntable to good music. Like this album describes so much about like what they went through in the South, growing up in poverty in the South, which if you think about slavery started in the South, unfortunately, and then to bred good music and good music. I mean, it bred CeeLo. This album, man, this I don't even know how to like where to begin. I'm sorry I'm talking so much.
No, it's cool. I like this. There's a song on this album I want to play, but then we do have a couple other ones from Goody Mob. From the, I think it's the album following that one, if I'm correct, yeah, that has a handful Black of very Ice, like right? crazy recognizable songs that you guys all love. So let's get into this Goody Mob. Places like Operation Heartbreak Hotel, Mormon's Tale, until that tight bit still off this bell. They'll say expect no mercy. Fool, you should be my least worries. Got a deal with W-2-10-99s or more. Black helicopters swoop down and try to put missiles in mines. Who's that kicking in my window? Nobody now. Who's that kicking in my window? So that was Goody Mob from the Soul Food album. Cell Therapy was the name of that track.
I remember that video. In the video, the dude was like looking through the window. It was creepy.
It's a good song, man.
But it's a good song. If you think about the layers to that song, mm-hmm. it's deep.
I have a thing for like just the way things are tonally, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And how and the type of mood it puts me in. And I think like that right there is kind of, it has a dark tone to it. Just the beat. Like it's just something about it. It's kind of gritty, you know, yeah. in some ways. Yeah.
Very gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah. This whole album, it's so well-rounded.
Right.
It does remind you of Nas, but in the South. Like they're putting you through their own experiences in the South and what they go through and the way they do it, they describe so much.
Yeah, I think I just have an appreciation for music at that time, not because I was immersed in it and grew up in it, mm-hmm. but I think I just like that it was just produced. Like today's music, I feel, you know, what do they call it? That whole like, you know, just the way the beat is produced and everything, it just isn't, it's not the same. Like there's some richness and some quality difference yeah. to just the production.
I would have to totally agree.
You know, because now it's just what you just tapping sticks on tables and you're just like two stepping everything. It's just this is bullshit. Like honestly, some of it is all right. You know, some of it's cool, feel good music, but everybody's doing it. It's just everybody, so.
See, that's it's the thing.
Tiring, girl. Man.
You're so. Thank you. This is why she's my sister. What you just said is everything is the same. Maybe the beat is always similar.
Right.
The subject matter.
The artist.
You got Goody Mob talking about down south and the new world order if you listen to that shit. And then you listen to Nas and Street Dreams and you listen to the beat, totally different. But they're all like poetic in their own way and they're all from different places talking about different shit, but making you feel something.
There's quality in that.
There's quality. A genuineness.
Yeah.
Like they went through whatever they're talking about. Yeah. It's not just a fucking game.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, whether or not you think we're biased, we might be. Everybody's biased. Like I can't help it. But you know what? Yeah. Taking off the bias hat and just stepping aside. Just step back. Take a look at the music world today and the music world back then. I mean, even the music world before our generation, you know, we've compared that before. Like there's yeah. there are differences and there's a difference in generation and how music evolves, but does it have to really evolve and be worse? You right. know what I mean? Couldn't it just evolve and be as good or better?
Yeah.
Come on. Like that's really my argument here. It's not that I don't like the changes and I don't like the changes because it's bad to me. In my opinion, it has no quality and it's garbage to me.
It is.
You know?
You have four different rappers in that group. All of them talking about, let's just say the same subject but in different ways with their own opinions on what's going on. Like if you really listen to that song, it's about like the world and being kind of just like spied on.
You know, it's interesting when you have four people, like a group like this,
yeah.
and then you have everybody chime in when you think about music. What it kind of goes back to, sorry, I'm kind of like, you know, just kind of derailing a little. We talked about mm-hmm. people featuring other people on songs and they start spitting and it's like really makes no sense with the song. So I feel like an opportunity like this, if you're going to get on somebody's track or you're part of a group, like when mm-hmm. you have one subject matter, it's really an opportunity to show vantage points and perspectives on that, as opposed to just, I'm going to do my own shit and just, you know what I mean? Yeah. Talk about whatever. So mm-hmm. I don't know, but you're right. Like what you're saying.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
And yeah, I think people are missing that in that yeah. this group. We're going to play some more stuff, and you're going to see how deep this group is. And when they were dismantled for a little bit, it was very heartbreaking.
Yeah, tell me now, this one's gonna really get you going because I know you all know this, so let's play it. Don't forget the chapstick, lips dry quick when the jack out make you want to act out, take the slack out so people black out. Touch what I never touched before, came back out. Seen what I never seen before, woke up and seen the sun sky high, sky high. Touch what I never touched before, seen what I never seen before, woke up and seen the sun sky high. I've been in it for the past few days, tight of the face, I know all my plays. Then can I rap, can I adapt, not really sure yet. Who they looking over the shoulders of those writing dreams, feeling for the taste of mythol.
So that was Goody Mob with one of their hit singles from their second album, and the song is called Black Eyes. I just like the way it flows, man.
Yeah.
Just the way they spit is so immaculate, the way they... I've never really heard a group from the South like that, or a group period. I don't want to just segment and just push away and, oh, just the South, they don't talk rap like that, but they don't. But I don't, you don't hear that. The way that they flow, amazing, man. And it's not just CeeLo, that dude's amazing too.
Yeah, like I listen to this stuff though. I mean, I still feel like I personally pick them because I think they're timeless to me. This one actually is a good segue if we want to talk about today's music. Okay. So let me play this one first, and then I'll bring it back.
All right. Throwing a little bit of surprise in there.
Yeah, here we go. Dressing up and made it seem sweet like a beach in Martinique. Goodie back up on their feet. Set it straight for the 9-8. License plate with a triple eight. Calling all them cops. Cause the club be going left to right. Throwing bowls like them pro. Running lows up in the night. Feeling numb from the cup I drank. Hollering at them girls in the back. Baby, what you looking for? Shout it, I ain't showing no slack. People don't dance no more. All they do is dip. All they do is dip. All they do is dip. People don't dance no more. All they do is dip. All they do is dip. All they do is dip. They get out on holding folks hot sticks. Okay, that was Goody Mob again with People Don't Dance No More. All they do is this. All they do is this. Dude, you know what? Okay, the reason why I said that was a good segue into talking about today's modern music is because it's exactly true. Does it mean that Goody Mob was futuristic? They saw into the future because people don't dance no more. You know, all they do is two-step. Like, what the hell is that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all they do is two-step. And it just, the club is now sad. Like, no one's dancing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they're just like wallflowers two-stepping on the, you know, dancing with the walls. It's just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
You know, two-stepping at the bar, in the bathrooms, like taking selfies. Like,
oh my
people,
God.
Get with it. I don't even understand.
Have fun.
That song right there, though, I remember when I heard that, it was one of my favorite joints too at that time. Because, you know, like, it just moves your bones, you know? Like, that's really all it is. It seeps through your skin.
And
it goes through
timeless.
Your eardrums, and it just starts to, like, puppeteer and animate your body. Like, you can't help but dance to that. I don't know.
You can't help it.
I don't even know. Oh, but, man. I mean, how did you feel about that song? Anything in particular?
I remember that song, and they would actually play it at the local nightclub in Denver. And people would lose their minds. And people would actually dance. It's like, what they were saying... Like they were dancing to that song,
right?
But for the most part, people don't dance anymore. But
oh.
Look, we had a song about who's that peeping through my window,
yeah,
and then we have a song about they don't dance no more. Like every song from all their albums, it's always something different you get.
Exactly. It's like, I sometimes wonder, how did they conceptualize this
stuff?
Thank you. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost sort of genius in some ways. And that's what I like about music back then, is like they had concepts for different songs, as opposed to an album that was filled with the same type of songs.
And you've been picking some great songs, and the one we're going to get into after this one is another song about social commentary.
Yes, actually it is. Let's play it, because there is something interesting about this song that we just kind of picked up when we were listening to it.
Yeah,
super random, but we'll let you decide this. We'll mention it though. So play it. You steal my sister. I say you're mine. Make it in my head. You're my sister, lover, and friend. Lord, your life from hell. Yes, I. For your beautiful skin. One leg. Say bye to So that was Goody Mob, A Beautiful Skin. We heard CeeLo Green at his
at the peak, the pinnacle of his career, when he was in the group before he was a solo artist.
Yeah, and you know what? We played his solo stuff in our first episode, and maybe you've heard it yourself, but it does kind of show that he still has that same style, which is really cool. I can respect that. But when Simone played this just briefly on his phone, it was on really low, and I have a tendency to like pick up different parts of music every time I hear it. I don't know, it's all these different layers. And for a moment there, just for a split second, I thought it was going to be Juvenile's Slow Motion. Just yeah. Listen to the beat, how it came in. Like, and you may not hear it right off the bat. It's one of those things, like if you heard it at a distance, yep, and you only heard certain parts of it, elements, you'll
definitely
feel like it could be a similar song. So I'm wondering, was that sampled?
That definitely was sampled.
Was not this, this song,
this
but
song
the
came
Juvenile.
Out first,
yeah, exactly.
And then Juvenile's was after.
But and you also made an interesting comparison. Now, if this is true, if Juvenile Cash Money did sample this song for Slow Motion, because it almost sounds like
as
it could
far
be.
As the beat.
It almost sounds like it was some, yeah, the beat. Like it sounds like they just did some slight arrangement to
100%.
Some the order of the beat a little bit. Yeah. And so, if this is true. Tell me what your observation was, because it was very interesting. Or tell our audience what you thought what you think.
Okay, so this song is called Beautiful Skin. It's about black women and empowering women and their skin tone and being proud of it and not being ashamed. And just it's an empowering, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just a big up for women in general.
Right.
Okay, so that song is about that. Then you got that song.
Juvenile.
What's the name of that song?
Slow Motion.
Okay.
Is it Slow Motion?
Slow Motion.
Right.
You know where I heard that song for the first fucking time?
In a club.
A goddamn strip club.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's about women shaking their ass.
Exactly.
And popping their ass and all that crazy shit. The video was amazing by Juvenile, but it was about some ho-ish shit.
Ass shaking, yeah.
It was not anything to do with Goody Mob and black women and black skin and it being, you know, socially aware of, you know what I mean? Just being proud of yourself. This is totally fucking different. Juvenile's song is totally different.
Exactly. It's a total contrast to this song. But we also were talking about how both artists are from the South.
Boom.
From the South. And the songs are
with two different
somewhat
fucking messages.
Similar tone.
Yep.
With two different messages.
Getting that same chakra with the music, mm-hmm, right? Getting your attention from the beat, mm-hmm, but saying two different messages.
It's interesting. So we don't know if this is true. We just made this discovery when
we
were just listening to it.
Throw it in there.
What?
That Slow Motion for just so they know what we're talking about.
We could, and then we'll just play the other one again. Let's play them both together real quick.
I like that idea.
Let's do it real quick.
Okay. Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. Moving slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. Slow motion for me. Moving slow motion for me.
This particular song right here is dedicated to the black woman, and it doesn't pertain to all black women. Some of y'all disrespect yourselves because you don't know who you are in the first place. This is out of context.
I don't even know what to say. It's eerily, it's kind of similar. It's very similar.
Did you fucking hear that, Carol?
Yes. I mean, granted, people sample each other's stuff, you know what I mean? Whatever. Music sounds the same.
Yes.
But that was a totally, like just
it's
random
just,
discovery. And it was just, I think we're just tripping
right.
out because it's, like, it's so contrasting.
It is, man. There's no doubt about it. It's
so what was different about it, Simone, about the two?
I mean, the beat is definitely, they arranged it, they made it a little bit louder with the Juvenile.
And they added, I think, a couple.
They added, I don't know how to explain that part of, like, because I don't really know beats. And
all I can say is elements. I don't even know. Like, they extended the musical element.
Right.
I don't know.
They arranged it differently, but it's definitely the fucking same.
Yeah.
And I just don't like, I mean, to discover certain things, you, like, are like, oh. Like, you find out, you know, one of your friends is an asshole, right? And he steals your money or something like that. And you're like, I can't believe this dude is really a creep. Right, it hurts your feelings when you find out something with music. It's the same. I feel the same way. It's personal to me.
Yeah.
And to hear that a song about beautiful, I didn't know this. This wasn't even planned, by the way.
No, it wasn't. This happened today.
This just happened today, and that's why I'm like, I might sound confused and my heart's beating real fast. Is that we listened to this song about beautiful black women, and you stopped me and was like, wait, Simone, doesn't this sound like Juvenile?
Yeah.
And then when you said the song.
You heard it right away,
I heard it right away.
Yeah.
And then just the two subjects. I'm going to keep bringing this up. It's two different subjects. Why would they? Because I think they knew what they were doing. To be honest,
you think
with you,
so? They had to. These people know their music. They know their music.
I think Jazzy, what's his name? Who was it? Manny Fresh.
Manny Fresh
was their producer. He was their homegrown producer. I think he knew what he was
and
doing.
I don't know. I'm not trying to start no rumors or nothing. Like I said, I'm not saying that it's wrong because people
know,
are.
Too.
You know, I'm not saying because people sample each other shit all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm just pointing it out. Like, whoa, that was pretty mind blowing. We had an aha moment just now.
Yeah. I hope we don't have any more of those. I'm not gonna be able to take too much more of this shock value shit.
Yeah, man. Okay. Well then, why don't we move on? All right. All
right,
that closes up Goody Mob. So we have another group for you, has the word mob in it too. Mob
it does.
Deep.
Mob Deep.
Yeah, we only have one song from them.
Yeah.
But we really like this one, you know.
Yeah. This one is definitely a classic.
Yes.
And funny thing is, it's with
Lil Kimberly,
a female rapper.
I say that all the time. I know her name's Lil Kim. I know that.
You make it sound really cute.
It's just
Kimberly.
I have fun saying Lil.
Yeah.
It's just fun. I don't know.
But then
she might not like it.
Another nickname is Il Nana.
Yes.
No, it's not.
No, you're wrong. That's Foxy Brown.
That's Foxy Brown. Why? Okay, but see, this is why I get the lines blurred. They both promote. What do they promote?
Yes, we know. We know what they promote. Okay?
A little too much. And this song, it's just, this is another one where you are in the car and you bump in feeling like a gangster, like you just want to do some wild shit.
Yeah.
Never did, but you know, you felt that way.
Here we go.
Queen bee to attack, only your fly bitch like that can leave him relaxed. Rock him to sleep, make him think the drama is dead. Yo, I smile up in your face, no, I'm plotting instead.
Yo, it's some real shit to make you feel shit. Dump him in the club, shit. Have you out and out when you bump this? Drug to your eardrum, the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough. Yo, it's the real shit to make you feel shit. Dump him in the club, shit. Have you out and out when you bump this? Drug to your eardrum, the war uncut. Have a nigga OD, cause it's never enough. Hot damn hoe, here we go again. Light as a rock, bitch. Hard as a cop, bitch. This shit not for blocks, too hard.
So that was Mobb Deep featuring Lil Kimberly, Quiet Storm. That song, I don't know. I think it's one of my top five favorite songs of all time. Maybe that's a little too much, but I just, every time I hear that song, it just makes me excited.
Yeah, you know what? They play it on that at old school station out here,
mm-hmm.
You know, 90, that K-Day station, and I'd be bumping that mess out of that song.
Damn.
But hey, you know, that song to me, though, it reminds me of that Dre-produced Phone Tap with The Firm.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of Foxy Brown, Il Nana, right?
Yeah, that's
crazy. Here we go.
It does.
But what I like about that Quiet Storm is there's something, I don't know, there's...
like grimy.
Yeah.
Dark.
Yeah.
Alley type shit.
Yeah, I don't know what about it. Like,
it's just something.
Yeah.
And then Kim talking about, like, and you were doing some of the lyrics again. I was like, wow, like, just like how she has a lot of big influence in her flow and in her cadence, like when she does that,
she does that a lot.
Hip hop. Yeah, that means Big definitely did that. Was his one of his signature
things. Damn, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Light as a rock. That's what she did.
Yeah,
right?
And I was like, oh shit. And she killed it on that, man.
Yeah.
That one,
I'll give it to her.
Just that, like, I love Mobb Deep, Prodigy, Havoc, and then I think Havoc did the beat on that one. I love his beats, man. I love Mobb Deep's grimy. Just like their albums are very, they're dark. There's no happiness involved in Mobb Deep's music. It's all very street, gutter.
Yeah.
Queensbridge, New York.
Was it around the same time that this song came out, though? The Phone Tap song?
I would have to say.
Roughly, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I kind of want to play it. Let's just play it.
Because
we just played this one. I don't know. There's something about it that they're kind of similar.
Another one. This is definitely a classic.
Yeah. So that was The Firm, Phone Tap, AZ, Nas, Nature, Dre, and you got Foxy Brown in there. So we were just discussing this while we were playing it. And I think what it is about the two songs is almost as if we're kind of like, I don't want to say we're spectating, we're kind of eavesdropping in like this whole, like the midst of a mission of some sort. Like there's something going down,
we're right
in the middle of it with them, you know, like we're able to like, oh shoot, like what's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're kind of, I don't know. I think that's something exciting.
Exactly.
That's partly why I think I like it.
There's something like, it's edgy.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't know. It's like suspenseful. Like
exactly.
You see a movie and you're like, you don't know what's going to happen next. Something could be right around the corner. That song's about getting your phone tapped.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know when they're going to come and bust your ass.
They might be tapping us right now.
They might be tapping you
right
now.
Because, I mean, we were just talking about Juvenile. Just talking about it. And I type it in my phone. Mm-hmm. That was the first song that came up with Slow Motion.
He has many hits.
Exactly.
And the first thing that pops up is the one we talk about.
Someone's listening.
Slow Motion for me? Come on, man.
Someone's listening.
I do believe, because I couldn't explain it until you told me. It was like, something about that is like, it makes you feel like you're on the edge, like a surprise might happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It is very suspenseful. I think that's what it is. It's almost like, oh, you're waiting for like this climax. Like, you're
but isn't
in, like,
that life in general? Like, you don't know when you're going to wake up the next day, not to get all dark and stuff, but you don't know what's going to happen the next day.
Right.
Anything is possible.
Right.
And that's what I think this music depicts, is like living the moment because you don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like everything we've played, I think just looking at our list here that we're going to get to, everything seems like it's about taking a ride.
What on the radio right now
has
put you in that mood of the songs that we played today? What songs have you heard that made you kind of get a glimpse into what they were talking about?
To be perfectly honest, I'm a little detached from that right now because there isn't anything that grabs me like that.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel the same way.
There might be something in their albums.
You use the word detached, and I feel the music that they're playing now is detachable type of music.
Right.
How do you get attached to the subject matter that they're even talking about? I think it's not even built to make you feel any kind of way.
It's to numb your mind.
It is to numb you. Mm-hmm. Right. Like a drug, or you know what I mean? Yeah, it's detachable. Well, what do we got next?
We got next more good stuff. Now, this group, everybody knows them. They've been around and they're still around today. And there's no denying how awesome these two are. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really have to introduce them. I'm just going to play their first song.
All right.
All right, let's do it.
Your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on boats. Coming up, slamming Cadillacs,
back in the day when I was younger, hunger, looking to fill me belly with that rallies, bullshit, pull shit off like it was supposed to be pulled, full of the chick I was, stone like them white boys, smoking them white girls before them blunts got crunk, chunky asses, passes getting thrown like Hail Marys, and they looking like Halle Berry, so fine, intertwined, but we ain't sipping wine, we just chilling on the...
Alright, so, I guess music speaks for itself, right? You guys know who that is, that's a good outcast, how unmistakable.
Unmistakable.
So I picked that song because that song too, like I said, this whole theme has been about going on this ride. Like even in the music video, it's like there's this little forest and all this other stuff going on. Like, I don't know. It's just something about the beats of today has been really edgy. And like I said, like you said, suspenseful, you know, and grimy. So.
And they capture your attention right away.
Exactly.
I mean, that's why I think that song that you picked, I think that title for that album, AT Aliens by Outkast, is a perfect title, because the stuff that they're talking about is out of this world. Sometimes you might not even understand it. You'd have to listen to it many times, and there's so many different double entendres and different layers to what, especially your boy Andre 3000. He spits some futuristic stuff, and rightly so. AT Aliens. These dudes are rapping like a bunch of aliens from a different planet, talking about some amazing stuff.
Yeah.
The songs, the music.
Like, they've always been real futuristic. And they've proven that even in their more modern music, or the music from, you know, their 2000s or so. They set a precedent. They're not afraid to be themselves. And I think that's why Outkast is so special. People accept them for that. Like, you got Andre in his damn freaking, what is that? Like, mink pants or whatever he has on. In
one
of
his,
you know what I'm saying? But people accept that because he's different. He's him. And I think that it's not pretentious.
No.
He truly, they just are who they are. I think that's why Outkast is just such a dynamic duo, is because they didn't care to be themselves. They make their music and they didn't give a shit. You know?
Didn't give a shit, exactly.
Like, take it or leave it. I kind of feel like that
it
was their attitude.
One of the best, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, bar none. I talk to people of different different nationalities and different cultures and different backgrounds, and I would just, if we were going to ever talk about hip-hop in a subject, everyone, besides Wu-Tang, which is like universal, Outkast always comes up, and Tribe Called Quest, but Outkast always comes up as like somebody's favorite group of all time.
But I think that's what it is about Outkast, much like Goody Mob and all the other people we're talking about, is like these concepts. I think really what it is they're conceptual songs, and you go to wonder where the fuck did they come up with this shit? Like, what the fuck were they smoking? But that's smoking? All right. You know, it's so psychedelic. I think that's what Outkast is. Super psychedelic. You know, they're hip-hop psychedelic hip-hop.
Dude, exactly, artists. Man. Yeah. They see the shit. Even Goody Mob into the future. They don't dance no more. All this stuff is like they had to have been on something. I don't want to put that
not
on
in
them.
A bad way.
Not in a bad way, but I'm just saying, like, to come up with those ideas and concepts and not be just like everybody else and follow the same pattern.
You know what it is? They were just receptive to their genius. That's what it is. Yeah. You know, they weren't trying, like I said, they weren't trying to conform. They were just being them. And that in return allowed them to be open to whatever genius wanted to come through. You know, and I think that's why that music is so genuine and it's just not pretentious because they let go and they received, you know?
Think about that. Even that last, I don't think they make enough music. I mean, that's obvious they don't.
Right.
Is that one album they had where Big Boy did his own shit and then.
The double album where they had their own.
Which I appreciated it, but I love them together. Period.
I agree. I think many people do.
It's a good sandwich. You put them all together and it's delicious. And I appreciated that album, but it was two different albums. They could have just both did solo projects by themselves.
Exactly. And they kind of packaged it as Outkast, right?
Yeah. So, tricky.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Maybe it wasn't their idea. Maybe they did want to try something new, but maybe it was too risky for whoever signed them, maybe. And they were like, we still should sell it as Outkast because you as individuals may not do well. So they probably felt like that might have saved them, like, business-wise.
Yeah.
But maybe not on the creative end.
There's something weird there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I really do hope that they do more albums together.
But that's just speculation, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's been all these rumors about them getting back together, like, lately. So we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see. They might give
just
us something.
The rap,
well, they were at Coachella recently, weren't they?
Heard that.
Yeah, I swear. Like, and wasn't it recent that Outkast, and that's partly why it was such a big Coachella, like, I think like a year or two ago, perhaps.
Just that'd be the price of admission alone, just to go see them perform live together.
Because
it
was a reunion type thing. It was special.
I would definitely pay to go see that.
Yeah.
So I hope they do more shows.
And rub your body against a bunch of dirty ass people who had to shower for days. Oh. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Let's play the next one by Outkast.
So now you know, let's go.
Players Ball by Outkast from their Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music album. I find that interesting. I believe that's their first album, right?
Yeah, okay. That's their first album.
Here's what's interesting to me is like just the difference in subject matter and type of music. Like that song to me was more, you know, something sounded a little bit more trendy, even though it was different. It was still Outkast. It seemed like it was following, you know, like it blended with other types of music and could be played to the masses as opposed to like what they make now, which is still accepted by the masses because it's different. You know, they don't have to be the same to sell. That's what makes Outkast so great. But then I think at the time, you know, they were just kind of riding the wave and doing what they, you know what I mean?
To get
kind of
going with
the flow.
You gotta do to get in the
Exactly.
Game.
Yeah. So, like, what made you pick that song? Because I know you like that song a lot.
I remember this song because I remember the video. I used to love Rap City in the Basement, and they were at the pool hall, and they were the way they were rapping. And even though what they were saying, it is somewhat trendy of to what was going on at the time, but the way they did it was, it just shined over everyone else that was talking about that type of pimp shit and just that, you know, thuggetry was going on in the South. it's just that street shit. But the way they did it, it just captured my attention right away. I was like, God damn, like, when you rap like that, like, he's, the way Andre flows, anything he says, it's amazing. It could be the worst shit ever, but the way he says, I don't know how he does this, but it's always captivating.
You know, he has a way with words, and you know what it is? It's kind of like how people say, oh, the French language is so beautiful, even when you're standing there cussing somebody out. It's like, it's beautiful. Ooh, cuss me out some more. Yes, keep throwing them F-bombs, you know?
Right.
But it's something romantic about
his
cadence, you know? It's something very alluring, you know? Okay, so we have one more by Outkast.
Yeah.
And Simone was really gigging to this. I know he was really feeling it. So let's play it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. One for the players at the crib drinking drinks, and two was for the sound. Hootie hoo that I made. Hootie hoo.
Tight like hallway.
Hootie hoo.
Big Fly on my left. Andre's on my right. Tight like hallway. Smoked out our way.
So that was Outkast, Southern Playalistic, Cadillac. Is it Cadillac funky music or is it like?
Southern Playalistic Cadillac music.
Cadillac music.
I like how they use the C in Playalistic and Cadillac.
Yeah.
The one C, which is pretty cool. Like that, hashtag that shit.
Hashtag that shit.
Bitches.
That was that was their first album by the Dynamic Duo, and the song was called Hootie Hoo. And that song is just like the, it kind of falls into play with the songs that we've been playing so far.
Right. It's like a ride music.
Right. Explain the music that you heard, like the beat and just the whole atmosphere that they were portraying in that song.
I think it's like, I liked when it just started to kick in, you know, like when it just got like, ooh, like it just picked up after. But no, that's what I like about that. Like, you see, those two songs are from the Southern Playalistic Cadillac music album, and they both kind of have more like a trendy beat to it, you know. And I think like this song, much like Mobb Deep, much like the Phone Tap, and even that Message by Nas, they all have a similar tone to it. Like, it's really like ride with me music, you know?
And it's gonna like it hits you,
right? Yeah. Well, that's it for Outkast anyway.
Yeah.
That's
shout out to Outkast, man. They definitely.
Yeah, for sure. But we do have one last group for you.
Oh, yeah. Drum roll, please.
Drum roll. And we saved them for last not because they're better or worse or whatever. It just fits this way.
It just fits that way.
So our last group is the Fugees.
The Fugees.
And we picked this song because Simone was telling me, you know, what put the Fugees on the map.
This one's called Nappy Heads. And some people might not remember this song, but they did a remix. This song is the remix, and they were not getting any radio play in New York. And they remixed the song, Nappy Heads. And I remember this song also was on Rap City.
Okay.
And it was from their first album. They later on would become the greatest group, one of the greatest groups from the second album.
Right.
But this one is called Nappy Heads, and this just stood out because the beat and just Lauren... just it all goes together so perfectly. But Lauryn Hill, man, she's the front man or woman for this. I don't think women were rapping like this ever till her.
Well, let's have a listen.
With the mic in my hand to a land where only God knows me, and the angels write raps on holy paper. I said I'm looking for Jesus. He said take the escalator one flight up. It's guaranteed you'll be there. My sister be there. My mother be there. So Mona Lisa, could I get a date on Friday? And if you're busy, I wouldn't mind taking Saturday. Hey, round of the posse, Fuji coming around the way.
I don't puff, so I always got my breath. Never had to battle with a bulletproof vest. They call me Cockweasel, but I still kick my chest. I don't wear Jerry curls, cause I'm not from the West. Don't disrespect to the West, true indeed. I rock it to the East to see. The seed of them days back, your sheep's getting hot tracks. Peace to Mr. Magic, things are getting tragic. Now we on some new stuff. Fit the Ku Klux, my own clan is acting up, or blame it on the Philly blood. What's your cool to do? Kids are acting, ooh.
So that was the Fugees with their song called Nappy Heads, which was in 94.
And that was the remix, which you said was the one that did outperform the original.
Right.
Right? So who produced the remix, do you know?
I don't.
Whoever did it, though.
Good job.
That Lauryn Hill, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're missing today. You know, we're missing rappers and lyricists like Lauryn Hill. But, you know, there is this whole thing about her having a new album, actually. I haven't heard it, but I'm excited about right. that, you know?
And I think we're going to have a little special thing at the end.
Yeah, we do have a little treat for you, too, yeah. that involves Lauryn Hill.
Okay, so I was telling you earlier that I don't travel. I've never been to New York.
Right.
I haven't been a lot of places. You know, I'm from California. I lived in Denver. But, like, that song is one of those songs that the way they rapped, it made you feel like you were in New York. Like, you took a... like you took a plane ride and you were just on the streets of Brooklyn or Queens or the Bronx, Harlem. Yeah. Like the way that song is definitely like boom bap and that's traditional New York style of rap.
Right.
It's not too dark. It's a little bit happy. It's a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
It's shit I could relate to. And you're in New York and you could just kind of feel the essence through that song.
You know what's funny is like it feels like another ride music. Like I just see, you know, people coasting in that and just like bobbing their heads, just like riding down the street, right? You know, just like, man, a lot of these songs are like that, you know, like they just put you in the passenger seat.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. So I think this next one by the Fugees, again, it's very, I guess, popular among the masses. Yeah. I think this one is super timeless.
Like a drag, I want to play with pelicans from here to Baghdad. Gun blast, think fast, I think I'm hit. My girl pinched my hips to see if I still exist. I think not, I'll send a letter to my friends. A born again hooligan, only to be king again.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you.
Yo, I play my enemies like a game of chess where I rest. No stress if you don't smoke cess. Less, I must confess, my destiny's manifest. In some vortex and sweats, I make tracks like I'm homeless. Rap orgies with Borgie and Best. Capture your bounty like Elliot Ness. Yes, bless you if you represent the fool. But I hex you with some witch's brew if you do. Voodoo, I could do what you do. Easy. Believe me.
So that was Ready or Not by the Fugees. If you listen to that, there's some strange things in there, huh? Yeah. We just now realize that whole, what if I rule the world? That little snippet, right? Like, I don't know which came first. And then there's that whole, you know.
The Nas.
Yeah, and then there's that whole little tidbit where Rhapsody also sampled that little whole heebie-jeebies bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you see how powerful Lauryn Hill is. She's just magnificent.
She's influential,
She's very influential. Like, mad respects. But that song is like another one of those, like, it's just, I don't know, it has that suspense to it too.
Yeah.
When I hear that song, it makes me feel like this whole thing, I'm telling you, it's like creeping through the forest. You know, you're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to see what's behind the bushes type thing. Like, woo, you know, like, it's really builds you up.
It does.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is like the album is called The Score, and I believe that like when you're like doing a soundtrack to a movie, they call it a score, right?
That's true.
When you do the music.
Exactly.
Just
in the movie world, yeah.
Yeah, so it's perfect, like you said.
It is very, it's like a movie score. Like,
yeah, it's definitely.
All these songs have been very strong and standalone. You could find there's some trend in all of them, like amongst all of them, but they're still very solid and their own concept, which I can respect and I really like. And everything is like really gritty, but...
Very gritty.
It's just...
And gloomy.
Yeah.
What happened to Praz? Do you remember Praz, part of the Fugees?
Yeah. Wasn't he acting for a little while?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Does he do music still?
I think he definitely does movies. I don't think he does music. Maybe he does. We just don't know it. Like some behind the scenes stuff. But you were saying something that I didn't even know and I felt ashamed after I heard it. Is Your Girl's Coming Back.
Yeah, that Lauryn Hill. I've been hearing everywhere. I thought I even saw it on like different like radio apps and, you know, music apps where they were like, Lauryn Hill's making a comeback or she has a new album. So, I mean, I'm not just saying this out of nowhere unless
You should be excited, man.
Yeah, I get the feeling she's coming back. So I kind of looked into this just a little bit this morning before this segment. And we discovered, which I feel ashamed of, like I should have already, you know, heard this song, both of us.
Wow.
And you guys probably already have, and you're probably like, you guys are dumbasses. Why don't you know this? But I guess it came out in 2013.
Like when you played it, I was in like in shock and in awe of what she was saying in this song.
Yeah.
It's just, she's definitely a genius. I mean, you shouldn't use that word so freely.
Right.
But with her, I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
The shit she's talking about.
It's brave, actually. It's I don't know how else to put it. It's really speaking against something bigger than her. And it's a lot of truth. I think you would have to really sit down and listen to it for yourself.
She spits really fast.
She does. She goes really, really fast. And it's a Lauryn Hill that we missed, the one that actually just starts spitting. Yeah. But I think it has a lot to do with things that have built up over the years, mm-hmm. that she's just being real. It's like it's exposing something.
It's exposing a lot.
You know?
I'd be scared to do a song like that.
Exactly. So I kind of feel like, whoa, you know, it's... She's making a statement. Yeah. She does not give a shit right now.
She does not give a shit.
So, and the song's called Neurotic Society.
Yeah, please look it up. I don't know if you want to play the whole thing, but whatever you're going to play...
I'll play parts of it.
Please enjoy it. And this is a perfect closer, Carol Kay, that this is... There's not a lot of people like her, and there's not going to be.
Exactly.
Because it's scary to be, like to speak out like that. You know, like, most of our leaders, what happens to them? They fucking get killed.
When I heard it, I was pretty mind blown by it. And you see, wasn't that a good segue, Ready or Not? Here she comes, guys.
Yeah.
This is Lauryn Hill's Neurotic Society. Yep. So we're going to leave you with that. So if you have any opinions or anything that you want to share with us, how you feel about this new Lauryn Hill, or anything about today's segments or about our shows in general, you can hit us up, Offbeat Music Box, or send us an email at offbeatpod, that's P-O-D, at gmail.com. You know, if you found us on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud as well, at Offbeat Box Pod, that's B-O-X-P-O-D. And if you found us on SoundCloud, you can get us on iTunes under the same name, Offbeat Music Box. We're going to go ahead and let you go now. It's a beautiful Saturday in Los Angeles, and we got things to do. So thanks again for joining us. We appreciate your loyalty. And until next time, I'm Carol Kay.
And I'm Simone.
Stay offbeat, guys.
Do it.
We're living in a joke time, metaphor for coke time, commerce and girl men, run the whole world men, bone trunk of debauchery, old world brutality, cold world kill softly, whole world run savagely, redeeming the pride fiends, program TV screens, quick scam and drag queens, real life's been blasphemed, think twice it's past dream, crime if you ask clean, quick fast the poison has entered the bloodstream, psychological mask, the consequences of tragedy, mythological characters, men and women is parody, superficial to vanity, borderline insanity, out of order humanity, crime committed so passively, desperados and casualties, corporations want batteries, explanations and strategies, domination and mastery. Own zones in the bankrupt, grown people so corrupt, vice lords and yellow men, junkies of popularity, culture so independent, vultures scavenge reality, past feeling depravity, decaying social cavity, preying on human ignorance, popular immorality, symptoms of disease head, population misled, self-indulgent past dead, absence of the godhead, pimps, pushes and harlotry, nepotism, no artistry, despotism and piracy, desperation, dishonesty, business decision policy, more money, less equality, inflated global ego, imitating reality, pseudo-psycho, new feral, poisonous bows and arrows, hypocritics on salary, idle hands, devil's agency, predisposed to complacency, jealousy and audacity. City contagious social gluttony, stages of mass malignancy, epidemic deception, generation and atrophy, glam life and debt, scam life and editors, byproducts and neglect, children hiding from creditors, absence of self-respect, phony scared of competitors, lifestyle of luxury at someone's expense, sensitive children, used up as sacrifice, blind to the consequence, smoked up in dope pipes, ecstasy, fast life, recklessly past life, narcotics and cash fights, neurotic society, benefactors turned actors, addictions, triple captives, experience manufactured in this neurotic toxic society.